grace be yours, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is the second lesson appointed for this Sunday. We read in Paul's letter to the Philippians, the first chapter, beginning in the middle of the 18th verse. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me, to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God, when was the last time you sat down and wrote someone a letter? It used to be that putting ink to paper was the way that we expressed our deepest thoughts. For example, there was a television special a while ago that dealt only with the letters that soldiers from the Civil War through Vietnam wrote to their parents and to their lovers. Or, when you find a bundle of old love letters in the attic or in the bottom drawer of the cedar chest in your bedroom, isn't it like discovering buried treasure? Philippians is a prison letter. The captive Apostle Paul in Rome wrote a letter to his beloved Christians in Philippi. He wanted to let them know by putting ink to paper that he was all right. He was more than all right. He thought it was a privilege because he was in chains for Christ and for the gospel that he had shared with them and others. His imprisonment had emboldened other Christians to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Likely chained somewhere, and if not to a Roman soldier, not necessarily now in a dungeon, but maybe in his own house somewhere, but not free at all, the Apostle Paul had a lot of time to think, a lot of time to contemplate his situation in life. And then he put his thoughts down as the Holy Spirit inspired him in this letter to the Philippians. Interesting. We discover here that Paul's thoughts about life and death as a Christian pretty much parallel our own, don't they? We have a lot of time to think about issues of life and death. Or maybe we should take more time to think about the issues of life and death. Those things are for us, and were for Him to live, to die. Those things were in tension with each other. Look with me this morning into the joyful tension in which Christians live. Well, see, first of all, that we long to be with Christ in heaven. And at the same time, we are happy to serve Christ on earth. The Apostle Paul trusted that he would be delivered from his present circumstance in one way or another. Either the Romans would execute him, and he would then be in heaven with his Lord Jesus Christ. Or they would one day set him free, and he would be able to continue his service as being the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul had that trust because he knew that his fellow Christians in Philippi had been praying for him, that God would do whatever was right for him. And he knew it because by his faith, God had placed the Holy Spirit into his heart. And the Holy Spirit strengthened his trust that God would deliver him from his current situation. In threat and in danger, God always will deliver us one way or another. Isn't that the tension and the parallel and the trust that we enjoy also? If we're sick or in surgery or apparently near death or we don't know what the circumstance is, one of two things is going to happen to deliver us. We're going to die and be with our Lord Jesus Christ in the perfect bliss and joy of heaven. Or, we're going to get well and get better, and we'll be able to go on and continue to serve our God in our daily lives. God is exalted in our bodies, whether we live or whether we die. For me, to live is Christ. To die is gain. This was the joyful tension that existed in Paul's life as a Christian. He wanted to depart and be with Christ, he says, which is better by far. Yet, he believed that the Romans were going to let him go. He believed that his work on earth was not yet done. And so his words indicate that he fully expected that he was going to be released, and that he would continue to be able to do his work, perhaps one day revisit the Philippians, or continue to share the gospel around that part of the world. He was confident that God would release him so that he could help the Philippians for your progress and joy in the faith. Isn't this the joyful tension in which we live? We want to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. What could be better than to leave this life of pain and suffering and loss and the temptation to sin and giving in to sin and bearing with all of the weaknesses in our bodies and all of the burdens that face us every day in our particular calling? What a joy it will be to be face to face with God, to see God as He is, because we will be like Him. What a joy it will be to reunite with our loved ones who have died in Christ, to be with them once again, joining them once again in worship, in praising God for His grace and for His salvation. What could be better than singing God's praises, worshiping Him before the throne of the Lamb? It is better to be in heaven. To die is gain. Yet, that's not in our hands. That's in God's hands. When God says it is time for you to enjoy that gain of heaven, I will give it. But in the meantime, I may ask you to continue in the joy of serving me, in the joy of carrying out your various vocations and callings, the very various places that you have in the family and in work and in society. To live is Christ. Luther said we are all little Christs. And when we live our daily lives, we live Christ's life in the world. The Holy Spirit had convinced Paul that I will remain and will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ will overflow on account of me. The Romans did release the Apostle Paul, and it was several years before he was arrested again and was executed by a Roman sword. But for now, even though Paul knew it was better to be in heaven, he was joyful and eager to serve. What would that mean for him? It would mean a continuation of his life of trials and difficulties and persecutions. It would mean another day, more days lived in the pain of his thorn in the flesh. It would mean another day just like our days. You get up in the morning and you put one foot in front of the other and you go to bed at night, weary and burdened with the cares and concerns of life. Paul found joy in that. He found joy in that in the forgiveness of all of his sins in the blood of Christ. He found that in the joy of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with others so that they could be saved. He found his joy in the Holy Spirit calling and bringing others to faith. He found his joy in being able to do all things through Christ who gives me strength. He found his joy in this, and may you find your joy in this too. I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Isn't that the tension in our daily lives? To die and enjoy the bliss of heaven in the joy of our eternal salvation. And yet, as God asks me to remain here in the joy of living in Christ and serving Him as His children. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. But either way, we can't lose. Paul wrote, I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Discovering this truth of the joyful tension in which the Christian lives is like finding a treasure. A treasure that someone put with ink to paper, like love letters. But it's not a buried treasure. It's a revealed treasure. The Holy Spirit has revealed it for our continual joy. Philippians is the epistle of joy. We were talking at a circuit meeting the other day as we were studying this text, how easy it is for us in the tension between living and dying to lose the simple joy of the Christian life. To lose the simple joy of the hope of a Christian death. The Holy Spirit has revealed this joy to us for the progress of our faith. And think of this, Paul continues to do his work. Paul continues to exalt Christ. As you and I have this letter that he wrote for us, he continues through this letter to encourage Christians, even as he, Paul, exalts in the greatest joy, the thing that he really wanted to do. Paul now stands, as one day we will stand, in that joy of being with Christ, which is better by far. Amen.